Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you and do this with the help of a very, very good guest that Beth Moodhart in my office has outdone herself again, and she loves when I make comments, and she's giving me the look right now while I'm sharing that with you. So listen, we've got a great guest lined up, Greg Lavoie, author, speaker, journalist. He's got a great book out, and you're going to find this a very interesting subject. The book is Vital Signs, The Nature and Nurture of Passion, and this is the latest book, and Greg has written a lot. Callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life, I'm all about that. That's a previous book. The website, greglavoie.com. greglevoy.com, just like it sounds, Greg Lavoie, with two G's in the middle, is the website. Greg is not only the author of this book, but he's also had the previous book that I mentioned, The Authentic Life, and one of the top 20 career publications, according to Workforce Information Group. He's a lecturer. He's done seminars. How about this for the Smithsonian Institution and Environmental Protection Agency, Microsoft, National Conference on Positive Aging. Long list of credentials here. Been, of course, featured, as you might expect, in a lot of media, ABC TV, CNN, PBS. He's worked as an adjunct professor of journalism at the University of New Mexico, former columnist for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and has written for the New York Times, Washington Post, Omni, Psychology Today, Reader's Digest. Greg, welcome to the program, and the most important question for you is, when do you sleep?
Yeah, well, I do manage to squeeze sleep in there.
All right.
But I'm delighted to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, I'm very glad to have you. And, you know, I'm a big believer in doing what you're passionate about. And I'm always reminding myself of that when things get a little dicey or a challenge. Or, you know, I've had my company for the last 18 years, Greg. And during the not so good times of that were the result of the original downturn of the market from 2000 to 2002, and then, of course, of the more recent 2008, the Great Recession.
Right.
During those rough spots, I remind myself that, David, you're doing what you're passionate about. So I really am interested in your subject of your new book. So give me your passion, your impetus, your creative spark for wanting to write this particular book at this time.
Oh, at this time. Well, I've been fascinated with the subject as far back as I can remember about how people create a life that really belongs to them, isn't a knockoff, has a real sense of purpose and passion to it. It's just been one of those questions that just kind of defines my whole journey. I'm not even sure I can put a starting date on it, but it's a natural follow-up also to the Callings book, and in the sense if that one was about sort of finding a passion, the new book, Vital Signs, is more about living passionately as really kind of a skill or a stance toward life.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me. And so actually then if somebody is trying to find really what they're meant to do in life, your callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life might also be a good read for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good, good. I've got someone I want to give them both books to then. I've got the one you sent me. I'll go get the other one. Very good stuff. So let's just kind of dig in then a little bit. This naturally relates to the business world. And I know, of course, that was one of the things I mentioned when I was introducing you to Top 20 Career Publication for your Callings book. The application here is an obvious one to me, and I'm sure my listeners will relate to this, and that is that, you know, when you're in business, you want to do obviously what you're passionate about, or it is an awful lot of work and not necessarily what what you really feel like you should be doing. And so, you know, speak to that a little bit in terms of the area of business and leadership or education or even coaching. How does this play into that area?
Yeah, well, I think there's a very strong correlation, for one thing, between passion, frankly, and productivity and success. I think of this book called Corner Office that was written by a New York Times columnist named Adam Lambert. And he interviewed 700 CEOs around the country, and he asked them, what qualities do you see most often in people who succeed? And number one on their collective list was passionate curiosity. So I'm struck by that. And recently my brother sent me an article about the mother of a mutual friend of ours. And she was one of the first women on Wall Street. And she's explaining to the interviewer her strategy for staying engaged and remaining passionate about life. Mm-hmm. She says, you get up in the morning, you get out, and you stay active.
Yeah.
And this is really almost the stuff of cliche, but I think it explains a lot about why she's still in the game, going to work part-time in her mid-90s.
Wow.
And sharp as a tack.
That's cool.
You know, there's clearly a correspondence between passion and productivity, but there's also a correspondence between lack of passion and lack of productivity. I mean, I'm thinking of this famous Gallup poll that was done in 2012. It was a worldwide poll. They went to 142 countries, and they found that on average, 87% of workers were either not engaged or actively disengaged. All right, so not engaged just means you're checked out. Actively disengaged means you are busy acting out your unhappiness, your dispiritedness, and spreading the virus around among, you know, colleagues and, for that matter, friends and family and kids. You know, and it's interesting to me that there wasn't even a category in that poll for actively engaged, i.e. passionate.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Were there not enough people in that category to make it statistically significant or something?
They didn't even ask the question.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Mm. And I ran across a business columnist who said, this is what that study means. He says, it means that if you're part of a rowing team out on a river, it means one of the teammates is rowing his or her heart out. Five of them are just taking in the scenery. And two of them are actively trying to sink the boat.
Oh, that's funny.
So
well,
clearly there is a connection. You know, both passion and dispassion are contagious. And they in this country alone, it comes to $500 billion in lost productivity, according to Gallup.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Well, that book you mentioned, The Corner Office, I pulled it up on Amazon. Adam Bryant is
Bryant,
the author.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you were probably thinking of the singer, Adam Lambert.
Oh, that's what
So, hey, listen, you sing it, you read it, it's all good. But yeah. I wrote that down. That's another one I'll definitely want to take a look at. And, you know, this is great. This is really good. And I think it's really easy, Greg, to gloss over this subject because people, and obviously have not, few people I've met or even know about it, put the work into it that you have, and I applaud your efforts because so many times people find themselves doing something they're just not passionate about, and it's just drudgery. And you know, from personal experience, that's no way to live. I worked for two other companies before I started my own company, and good companies, fine organizations, great opportunities. I went from one to the other for an opportunity, and then when I was with the second company, I was doing good work, and it was good for me, it's good for them, all good, but I discovered something along the way that what I really wanted to do was do what I do now, which is the financial planning. And so those moments, that kind of end tapering period of kind of realizing that, it became very obvious that I had to make a leap to really pursue my passion. And I just think that so many people out there need to hear your message, that message of embracing it and really, you know, living. You know, there's a quote from a movie, and it's not exactly a perfect fit here, but I've always had it in the back of my mind. It's from The Shawshank Redemption, and it's, you know, the lead character is contemplating his actions next in his life, and it's either get busy living or get busy dying.
That's right.
So let's get busy living.
Absolutely. Well, part of the challenge, though, is, and I'm sure you ran into this in making some of those leaps, is that I think a lot of what this comes down to for people is the tug of war inside of them between passion and security.
Well, that is a huge point. Let's grab a break. We'll come back and talk about that. Greg Lavoie, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, journalist, and passion inspirer. We'll add that to the list. The website, greglavoie.com.
GREGGLEVOY.com. The book, Vital Signs, The Nature and Nurture of Passion. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a trustworthy local advisor for your investment and retirement planning, but you're not sure how or where to begin? Start by looking for a certified financial planner practitioner. Visit www.cfp.net to search for an advisor in your local area who's earned this highly regarded professional certification. Pick three CFP practitioners. Set an appointment and interview them. Ask questions. Listen carefully to their answers. Check references and research their firms with the Better Business Bureau. This PSA is brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Lavoie on the line, author, speaker, journalist, and I added one to the list before we left for a break, passion inspirer or definer or nurturer in the process. He's written the book, Vital Signs, The Nature and Nurture of Passion. And the one previous, which actually is another one I want to take a look at, Greg, Callings, Finding and Following an Authentic Life, because that is what it's all about. GregLavoie.com is a website. And you started to dig in to a point, Greg, which I think is really the heart of people being able to embrace their passions as it relates to how they make a living, not necessarily, you know, how they maybe do it in other parts of their life or lives, is this balance between the desire to seek out and pursue their passions and the desire for financial security. And I can speak directly to that myself. You know, that transition was not pleasant, that part of it, but you know, it was, I had to do it.
Yeah.
Had to do it.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately though, I think in the contest between those two forces, the part of us that wants to be alive and plugged in and engaged and the part of us that wants safety and security, my observation, as well as my experience, is that security tends to win, at least for most people.
Well, it does. It does that, I think, again, from personal experience, because you know that letting go of that security is very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's terrifying to some people, you know. And but the problem is that by continually choosing security over passion,
right,
and vitality,
right.
You know, the passion tends to get backburnered, but it doesn't go away. You know, if we're not expressing it, we're either suppressing it or repressing it or depressing it.
Mm.
You know, and they all mean the same thing, being forced down. But
yeah.
I don't think you can push that kind of force down with impunity. I think it's going to come back continually in all kinds of ways. I mean, I remember reading a Mexican poet named Jose Frias years ago, and he said, "I tried to drown my sorrows with drink, but the damn things learned how to swim." And that, to me, just captures so much about, you know, this is a life force. You're not just going to push it down. It's going to come up someplace else in the system.
Embrace,
you know,
your...
Because the fact is we don't just crave security and certainty. We also crave their opposite, and that's just a fact of being human. We crave passion, spontaneity, excitement, novelty, an adrenaline rush. I mean, you know, this is important to us. And so I often have people come to me and they say, I can't pursue any passion that's not going to pay the bill.
Mm.
And I understand it's a terrific state of affairs to be able to pay the mortgage with your passions. But I often am finding myself, and the more I go along, the more I'm hearing myself say this to people, why don't you try an experiment? Take money off the table for 6 months. Just take it off the table. Don't use it as an excuse to not move forward. And just spend 6 months experimenting with doing what you love to do. Offer it to the world. See what happens. Immerse yourself in it. Connect with others who share that passion. Take field notes.
Hmm.
You know, just because it's so, people are so quick to take their passion off the table because it ain't going to pay the bills. And I just think they're going to deny themselves half of their vitality by doing that. So, you know, it's like I have a writing practice in the morning and I can't ever seem to get the critic off the creator's back during the act of creation. I'm always editing while I write, running to the thesaurus to try to find a better word in midstream. The critic is always tossing grammar and punctuation and all that at me while I'm trying to just get some momentum and a halfway original idea. And this is just another example of it. It's I need to turn to the critic and say, you, out.
Yeah, at least get in the back seat.
or wait until the creator's done, then you can come in and go to town.
Right.
You know, but otherwise I'm driving with one foot on the gas and one on the brake, and it's having a constipating effect on my passion for my writing.
And it's dangerous for everybody else.
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I thought when you described earlier, it really kind of hit me, Greg, about the, you know, about suppressing, depressing, repressing, and then the poet mentioning the, trying to drink and these passions still float. It made me think of a great title for your next book, Save Your Liver, Embrace Your Passions. I mean, but you know, because people do turn to alternative outlets and escape. They try to escape, and they can't. They're. You know what it is? The most thing that is really, I think, scary for people in making the transition. Not just the loss of security, but it's that fear of being kind of the fear of being kind of caught between two worlds. You know, the one you're in and one you're trying to get to, and can you get there?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand. You know. I think one of the wisest things I ever heard anybody say was that heroism, or heroinism, of course, can be redefined for the modern world as the ability to tolerate paradox. In other words, to hold two seemingly contrary forces inside you at the same time.
Mm.
Passion and security, head and heart, us and them for that matter, and still hang on to your cookies. You know? And I just think there's a lot to cultivating that skill of somehow managing or refereeing the tension between the party that wants to stay and the party that wants to leave, the party that wants to act on and live by your passions, and the party that wants to be safe and secure. And not stuff one or the other of them under the floorboards just kind of to be rid of the tension, just to be able to referee them both. High art.
Well, the challenge is, you know, and I look back, this was 1997, Greg, for me, when I made this shift and started my own company. And I look back and go, boy, you could have planned that much better. You could have planned ahead much better, David, Mr. Planner. And but, you know, when the passion becomes so strong, the desire to change, the desire to make the move, the calling, if you will, that change comes, the opportunity presents itself, the staying, the inertia of staying where you are. You just can't do it anymore.
You
just have to do it then, and it's like ready or not, here I go.
Yeah, well, I'm generally speaking, I'm a planner too, and I encourage people to plan these kinds of changes out. I mean, you're a financial planner, of course, but I also believe that there are times when the prospect of turmoil, of just taking a flyer, is preferable to the kind of psychological death you're experiencing by staying put, in which case I say let her rip.
Right. I agree with that. And that's really, I think you've said it even better. That's really the point I was trying to get to. And, you know, it's, of course, it's been said many times, many ways, you know, that, you know, acting in the face of fear or with fear, that, you know, that's, they call that courage.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I know it's easy to say, for me when I've already made that transition, but for somebody out there who's saying, well, if I could, I would. So I know this is not something that you or I are, you know, dismissing as easy, but it is so worth it if they will embrace it.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do this, Greg. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the business aspects of this and the link between passion and productivity, and then also how, as business people, those of us that are, you know, doing work and serving people, how we can help them understand how our passion makes us better at what we do. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. so very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Vital Signs, The Nature and Nurture of Passion. Greg Lavoie is our guest and the author of that book. Website, greglavoie.com, double G in the middle, greglavoie.com. And, you know, I kind of set it up there for you, Greg, because I think it's a real interesting aspect or characteristic of this whole discussion of passion and embracing it, is the link that I know that you talk quite a bit in your book and in your writings, that there is between passion and productivity, both in personal but also in collective arenas. So talk to me a little bit about those connections and why passion matters so much in the world of business.
Well, I remember Malcolm Gladwell, Mr. Tipping Point.
Oh, yeah, one of my favorite.
Yeah, me too. He sort of popularized this idea that mastery in any field of endeavor, not just the business world, requires a minimum of 10,000 hours of dedicated practice. And so here's the math on that. That means 90 minutes a day for 20 years, or some variation of that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's like you think of if anybody's ever been performed in a play or been in a band or something like that, they know that the equation is that the amount of time they spend rehearsing compared to performing is something like 90-10.
Right, right.
80-20, something like that.
Right.
And but I think it is largely passion that explains people's willingness to put up with that equation, to practice the same lines or the same lyrics for thousands of hours for the chance to, what, take it on a stage 10% of the time. But I think there's a connection between that whole idea and, you know, what we, for instance, what we communicate to our clients, our customers, our constituents, our students, our children, you know, is that our passion is critical to their engagement. And the fact that we are passionate about our work means that we're going to be willing to put in those 10,000 hours. Then we're not going to resent it. We're not going to ask when we're going to get our next raise all the time. You know, it's like we're self-motivated. We're working on what's called primary motivation rather than secondary motivation. And the difference is simply primary motivation means you're doing the financial planning because you love it and you're gifted at it and you love the challenge and the charge of it. Secondary motivation means you're doing something just for a payoff, whether it's a paycheck or love or sex or power or influence or attention or anything else. And there's a pretty simple test to determine which one of them is in the driver's seat. And that's when the payoffs dry up, do you still do the work?
Yeah.
Are your passions still intact?
Yeah.
And I think people really feel when somebody's coming from primary versus secondary motivation that they're going to be in good hands with somebody who's operating on the first one.
Excellent. That's the authenticity.
Yeah.
And I've had, you know, I know it's a rhetorical question. I'm going to answer it anyway because I like to answer rhetorical questions. you know, I could speak to that because I've had people come in and I'm meeting with them and I realize that, you know what, they really aren't in a position where they need me to manage some money. They actually need some direction.
Mm.
I don't end the meeting. In other words, there's no opportunity for the secondary motivation. There's no financial opportunity. I'm still finishing the meeting. I'm still going to give them the guidance they need to get where they go. So thank you for the validation, Greg. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people, you refer to serving your clients. You use that term. And I think that's really, to some degree, the beating heart of it all is people can feel, I mean, in parts per million, people can feel when somebody's operating from a sense of service about their work, you know? And so they're looking, and even when they're not actively looking, they're feeling, they're intuiting whether somebody's got sort of a meta passion.
Mm.
You know, it's the passion above and below the one that's on their business card, you know, and it's the one that says, I am here because this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm meant to do. This is why I'm here. And that's that kind of value within the value. And I think people feel it.
Well, you've answered my question, Greg, because I was going to get to the point. I was going to ask you, and I wasn't sure how to do it, and you've answered the question without my even having to articulate it. And it is, how does somebody like me in the work I do, and it's easily translated into other fields of practicing law or providing some other financial service or professional service, how do we let people know that we really do care about what we're doing, really do like our jobs, we love them, we're passionate about them? How do we let them know? And what you're telling me is we just do our thing and people will know.
Oh, I think so. And it also, it shows up in the kind of questions you ask people, the interest you take in them, you know, that you're not just looking for the next, you know, the next client who can offer you something, that you're in the game to offer yourself and your services and your know-how and your heart. You know, and again, that's something that people sense, the way dogs can sense friend or foe. You know,
they could. Well, you know what? Actually, and I've actually told other advisors that, and sometimes I've even told people that, because I can sense that they're a little anxious, and I stop and I say, you know what? You need to understand something. Whether we decide to do business or not, I'm still going to make my mortgage. I mean, in other words, I don't have to do this. So, relax a little bit, because people are sensitive to that. They are sensitive to people being motivated for the right reason to help them. Yes, they know that everybody needs to make a living, but they don't want to feel like you're doing it, again, with those second and other motivations, as opposed to really trying to give them what they need. And the ironic part of this, Greg, is that right now in my industry, there is a big debate about, you know, putting the client's interest first and being a fiduciary versus, you know, just giving them what is acceptable. And we'll have to have you back to kind of talk about that. Thank you, Greg, for being with us. It's been helpful and insightful for me personally. I really appreciate your insights.
Great. My pleasure.
Yeah. Greg Lavoie, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, journalist, and the new book, Vital Signs, The Nature and Nurture of Passion, greglavoie.com. Don't forget those two G's in the middle. Greg, thank you, and we'll definitely have you back.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.